April 4th, 1905. Sound Doctrine. Ellen G. White. In the writings of the prophets are portrayed scenes that, although hoary with age, appear to us in the freshness and power of new revelations. Through faith, we understand that these records of God's dealings with His people in past ages have been preserved in order that we may discern the lessons God desires to teach us by present-day experiences. Living as we are in no less momentous a period than that just prior to Christ's second advent, we need to be especially careful to avoid making mistakes similar to those made by the Jews living in the time of Christ's first advent. Like the Jewish leaders who gradually devised a formal system of worship in which the importance of unessential matters was greatly magnified, some men are now in danger of losing sight of the important truths applicable to this generation and of seeking for those things that are new, strange, entrancing. There is need of cherishing elevated principles. Those who search after and advocate fanciful ideas need to be taught what is truth before they attempt to teach others. Man-made theories and suppositions are not to be sought after as truth. There are many who are as true as steel to principle, and these will be helped and blessed, for they are weeping between the porch and the altar, saying, "Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach." We must let the foundation principles of the third angel's message stand out clear and distinct. The great pillars of our faith will hold all the weight that can be placed upon them. In this age of error, of daydreaming and reverie, we need to learn the first principles of the doctrine of Christ. Let us strive to be able to say with the Apostle, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The Lord calls upon us to follow high and noble principles. Truth, present truth, is all that the Word of God represents it to be. The Lord would have His people keep themselves from all superfluities, from all that tends to mysticism. Let those who are tempted to indulge in fanciful, imaginary doctrines sink the shaft deep into the quarries of heavenly truth and secure the treasure that means life eternal to the receiver. In the Word, there are the most precious truths. These will be found by those who study with earnestness, for heavenly angels will direct the search. Referring to those who are now living upon the earth, Paul declared, "The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables." How significant, how soul-stirring, is the charge Paul gave at the time he prophesied concerning those who would not endure sound doctrine. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Those who commune with God walk in the light of the Son of righteousness. They do not dishonor their Redeemer by corrupting their way before God. Heavenly light shines upon them. As they near the close of this earth's history, their knowledge of Christ and of the prophecies relating to Him greatly increases. They are of infinite worth in God's sight, for they are in unity with His Son. To them the Word of God is of surpassing beauty and loveliness. They see its importance. Truth is unfolded to them. The doctrine of the Incarnation is invested with a soft radiance. They see that the Scripture is the key that unlocks all mysteries and solves all difficulties. Those who have been unwilling to receive the light and walk in the light will be unable to understand the mystery of godliness. But those who have not hesitated to take up the cross and follow Jesus will see light in God's light. Mrs. E. G. White.